Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. That's our statement to you. Now make it so in our lives.
Yes.
Stating it is not enough. It needs to be so. And you are the only one that knows where it is that it's not true. Deal with that, those areas in our lives, Lord. Those things that we think are still hidden, or we may not even know that they're hidden. Deal with us in those areas right now. As we speak, as we meditate on you, as we listen to you, touch us, correct us, direct us, make us better brides for you. For that, we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel like there's a couple of thought processes that were not exposed from the word that was given this morning. One of them is that we are the brides of Christ. We are the brides of Christ. If that be so, I cannot think of my husbandman wanting me to be without health, without provision, without boldness, without faith, without strength, without peace. And that's what he desires for us. Our husband desires that for us this morning.
Yeah.
Jesus said over and over while he was here on earth, he that hath an ear, let him hear. To a lot of ears that weren't hearing, we need to strive to listen. It's not enough to obey. We have to listen so that we'll know how to obey and what to obey. If we just obey, all we're treating is the letter of the law, and that will not lead to life. It will not lead to a good experience with our husbandmen. I seek a relationship deeper with my husband.
Amen?
Amen. We need to heed the word this morning. I don't want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good bride.
Yes.
I don't even know what a Christian is. But I got a good handle on what a good bride is.
Yeah.
Now that's what I need to pursue.
Amen.
I wish it weren't so, but in our churches, we're not taught what a good Christian is. We're just taught what a Christian is supposed to be. And I don't want to live what I'm supposed to live. I want to live what I need to live.
Amen.
Nobody else's interpretation, but my husband. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All righty, I'm going to... I'll recommend this to you. I feel like last week was a... ground shaking and being new information, but it was ground forming in being old simple information. I felt strongly in telling you this morning, and for those that you know are not here, we need to listen to that CD over and over and over until those simple things become our foundation. It's amazing how God can change our total life and our total perception with a simple truth. Very seldom are we affected by deep, what the church calls deep truths, because we've misunderstood. A deep truth is a simple truth. I know everybody wants to be affected by a deep truth, and we will be affected by those. That's the promise of God. But what we should base our theology on are those simple things that God says. Unless you become part of those simple things, you'll never be part of the kingdom. I can say this, what God has said over and over in many different ways, but we need to listen to the simple truths until they become our theology. So I'm going to label last week as simple truth one. This is simple truth two. How to become wealthy, healthy, and wise. We're going to approach it as a little child. One of the things that I'm just nearly not listening to Christian television anymore, because everybody wants to tell me how to be wealthy. You ever notice that? I mean, it's just bombarding us. I mean, everybody you turn to now has a new message on how to be wealthy. And yet, there is no meat in the message. The message is, God will just dump it on you. Well, it doesn't work that way, because nothing else of God works that way. I hate to tell you that. I know we all want to say he dumped salvation on us. No, he didn't. He paid for it, and we pursued it. That's what the Bible describes it. We are still pursuing it to this day. And it says, work out that salvation on a moment-by-moment basis. So that free gift requires a 24/7 work. And this is where we have to get down. This is a work of salvation. Being born again took no work, but the rest of it does. Well, it took a work on Jesus' part. A horrendous, terrific work on Jesus' part. At least we owe Him a little work now and then for our salvation. Come on. We owe Him everything. We haven't paid the debt. Anybody that thinks they can relax now and just be saved, you haven't paid enough. And I know that won't fly in most ministries today, but I'm sorry. I'm telling you, we owe God a lifetime of work. A work ethic is not something that should leave a bad taste in our mouth. It should be something we desire to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read about 12 verses to you, and then we're going to analyze these verses as it applies to our lives. As you're turning there, in our Bible study the other night, I got some real revelation from God on gifts that are given by God. And it's just this simple. I'll say what I said to Patrick this morning. Before God ever made the earth, He made all the humans. It's amazing. I remember one time I needed to build a boom lift for my skid steer loader. And I told my wife, I'm going to go out and build this lift. And here's how I built it. This is the effort that I put into it, what you're seeing right now. And I looked and I thought and I looked and I thought. I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. Didn't do anything, just looked and kind of thought. Walked back in the house and my wife said, "Did you get it built?" I said, "Yeah." "Yeah, I did." And, "Well, where is it?" Oh, I said, "Oh, I'm going to put it together tomorrow. I've already built it. I've already got it built now, though." Now, this is the way God did His earth. We refer to the time when He said, "Let there be," and there was. But that isn't when it began. It began with an extensive thought process that planned for everything. Now, this is childlike I'm talking about. That planned for everything that we will ever need. He knew that the earth was going to accept so many humans. Every human has already been made. There's not going to be an extra one. You hear me? And there's not going to be one short. Don't worry about the life and the death anymore because God has it planned. It even describes to us that He knew how many hairs were going to be on this earth and He numbered them all. So, y'all haven't lost any hair. God knows exactly where they are. He planned for the whole process. And before the foundations of the earth, He issued all giftings to all men. That's simple. Now the process is, just like He created a finite amount of wealth. There is no infinite amount of wealth. There's a finite amount of wealth. And He wishes above all things that you prosper. But He never promised above all things everybody should be wealthy. That's where the ministry of wealth has gone astray right now. It's not ever going to be. Not everybody's going to be extremely wealthy. Because that is, handling wealth is a gift that's been measured out to certain people. Just like the gift of administration is, you can say, "Well, I feel like an administrator." Up on you. If you don't move in the power and authority of an administrator, you're probably not one. So now you have to figure out what gift God has given you. Don't try to attach somebody else's. Don't try to duplicate somebody else's. Because you're wasting your effort and God's time. They were given before the foundation of the earth according to the DNA that God put in you. He passes some of it through lineage. Some of it just pops out. You can call them black sheep. They may be something else. But it's God's design. This is a simple thing. This is not a complicated thing. It's simple if we accept it. It's complicated if we try to duplicate it. How can this be? I'm going to figure out how God did it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Another simple thing. You'll never figure out how God did it. Let's just accept it. One of the reasons that when we get to heaven, that there's going to be choirs designated just to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." 24/7. There's going to be this song going on in heaven. Because we're going to understand how complicated this was and how easy God made it for us. He didn't want it to be complicated. He didn't want us to get in. Cast your cares upon Him means don't try to be more than you really are. I never asked you for a co-God. I never designated a co-God on this earth. I never tried to put that on you. Just relax in what I have put on you. Come on, enjoy it. I may never even get to the message this morning. There's some things I want to say. I saw, once again, my wife thinks I'm nuts, but I keep watching. There's this Freeview on my satellite where Stevie Ray Vaughan keeps coming and playing. It's like all the time. And every time I get a little bored with something, I turn over there and I watch that. And this morning I was watching the musicians playing. Now, Stevie Ray Vaughan was gifted by God with a talent that plays guitar like none I've ever seen. And there's other people that are gifted in instruments. I'm not trying to say he's got the only thing. I'm saying it's a study, it's a spiritual study to watch this. It helps in understanding. And I'm looking at that this morning, and I'm seeing joy on his face. And I'm seeing joy on other people's faces that are with him. And they're enjoying each, watching, even though they may share in the same gift, they enjoy watching the other one enjoy the gift. And I'm saying, God, how come so many of these people end up dying? The super, super talented people end up dying in some, either spiritually or physically. And I watched. As I asked God questions, I'm watching. There's joy on their faces. And all of a sudden, I picture Stevie Ray Vaughan in hell. And he is watching the same video that I'm watching. He's watching his extreme talent. And he's wondering, why did I use it that way? Now, biblically, I'm telling you something that can happen. And he's seeing joy on his face in his torment. And he's saying, why did I waste that? And where did I fail? I was just doing what was within me, the gift that God gave me. And I heard God say, his joy came from his gift. Oh, wait a minute, what's wrong with that? Because he worshiped it. He didn't sing to me. He didn't play to me. He didn't glorify me. And I begin to understand what happened to Satan. The most talented vocalist, instrumentalist, music compositionist that's ever been on the face of the earth. He worshiped the gift. He got joy from the gift. And then you can understand why the man in hell said, if I can just have another chance. And God says, no, you just do it again. It's not going to do any good to give you another chance. You would do the same thing again. And it puts light on the importance of our choices nowadays. We cannot, it doesn't make any difference who we are, we cannot worship anything about us. Not one thing. I don't care what you think you're talented in, what you're good at, what you feel good at. It all has to bring glory to God, or it becomes your God. That's what happened to Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's what happened to Jimi Hendrix. It's what happened to Elton John. All of these people that are dead one way or the other. Carrie right now. The other day I was watching that when he was real young, talking about seeing all these atrocities. Wait a minute. You were on a boat. Did I not understand that he was an officer on a boat? Now come on, answer me. Was he an officer on a boat? Then how did he see all these atrocities in that 4 long months he spent under heavy fire? Come on, ask some questions where there won't be any answers, and you'll get the answer. You know what he did? He's been given a talent of speaking. One of his teaching or spiritual gifts that was given before the foundation of the earth has been the ability to sway crowds with his speech. Now, we can choose where to use God's gift correctly or incorrectly. Satan chose that. We've been given that choice from the beginning from until now. So what did he do? He decided that he was more effective lying than telling the truth. And he's been reveling in that gift ever since. The reason he wavers all the time, how he flip-flops, is because he does not even understand what the truth is anymore. I'm not just, if somebody that we can recognize as a liar right now, let's study him for good, not for bad. It's not a ridicule. He can always get saved. But until he gets saved, he won't have an ear to even hear himself lie. He thinks that everything he says is truth because he worships his gift. His strength is in his gift, not in the giver of the gift. He doesn't worship the giver of the gift, he worships the gift. Come on, whatever talent we think we have, we better in all things at all times be giving glory to God, because God is a jealous God, and he won't allow you to take credit for any, not even, I don't care if you can burn toast good, don't you take credit for it. I don't care how weird it, don't take credit for anything. Give all glory to God. I don't care what it is. Come on. If we can get this picture, this is what I got Tuesday night. If we can get the picture that God has given all the gifts that he's going to give, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit and get more gifts. Jesus did not get more gifts when the Spirit descended. He just, and I shared this with the group Tuesday night, we sing about that coal of fire. But what happened was the coal of fire from the altar. The fire from the altar reaches over and touches the gift. And now the gift gets on fire. You didn't get a new one, you just got it sanctified. And then you get excited because you know the giver of the gift much better than you used to. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus, we thought, could not know God any better. But something happened when he was touched by the Holy Spirit. Things came out that weren't coming out before. And so we translate that as he received gifts. No, he didn't. He received the coal from the altar. There's a little bit of doctor in everybody. But some people get that doctor gift touched and they become the doctor. You understand what I'm saying? Every little kid wants to play doctor when they're young, don't they? Maybe they got different motives. I don't know if they're much different. About the same. A little bit later, they just get a monetary goose. Can you imagine how it would touch the church if they could just get it in their mind that I am full of gifts from God? I'm as full as I'm going to get, by the way, so I'm not going to seek any more gifts. Because to seek the gift is evil. To seek the gift is evil. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that I have friends that know that I go to church on Sunday morning. And they're not free to call me. I got friends and family that knows where I'm at. Had a guy call me, was it about 6:15 or so this morning? He said, I know you asked me to move my trailer and I know you go to church on Sunday morning. So I want to be there before you left. How did he know I go to church on Sunday morning? I don't visit with him. One of the things, if we get to this, is how God reveals or uses those kind of things to touch people. The gift that God gives. If we could list them all, and here's where we fail. We try to list God's gifts. If we could list them all, I really believe that the paper on this earth couldn't hold the gifts that God gives. And the Holy Spirit is not the giver of gifts. The Holy Spirit is a gift himself. Come on, am I touching on any religious toes? The Holy Spirit is a gift. Jesus was a gift. I don't want to be the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be Jesus, because then I'd be chasing a gift. I've sat under a lot of teaching where people wanted to replicate the gift that they have in the person that they're listening to or they're talking to. And they perform circus acts trying to get a gift delivered to you that I already received. The most famous one is trying to get people to speak in tongues. I've seen some of the biggest messes pulling cheeks and slapping faces and say, just try to, come on, what are you doing here? The smartest answer to that I ever seen was Paul Lavoie, being totally ignorant of God, said, leave me alone. He ran his church teachers off in the middle of church and said, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Now, that may not be theologically correct, but it the nonsense. See, I don't know why we do this, but gifts especially, we surround by nonsense. in the Nazarene churches, you got to be sanctified. And, of course, the minute you sinned, you weren't sanctified, so you had to go for another dip. And they'd pray with you and bang you and let it loose and hang on and all kinds of terminology. And you really needed to say, get away from me. This is between me and God, and you ain't got no input.
Amen.
God is a giver of gifts. He's already done that. The world needs to spend the rest of their lives thanking Him for the gifts they already have. If He needs to strengthen one, weaken one, by the way, do you know that it's just as evil to take a gift and misuse it as it is to not use it? I never will forget, we were in a church service one time, and this young man just thought he had a basket full of knowledge. He came in and he was, I don't particularly understand what gift it was that he was trying to manifest, but he said, I have this power and this authority that I walk in. Well, that's good. Wonder where you got that. Where'd you buy it? Can I buy some? Well, that's what intelligent people would say. Intelligent meaning not depending upon the spirit, but their mind process. And so he got in the corner of the church and he said, I'll show you. Just walk towards me. And as people would walk towards him, they'd stagger or they'd fall or whatever. Now you need to seek this gift. The gift of not letting anybody get near you. Or the gift of, if you come near me, you'll faint. That would be a Job gift, wouldn't it? Our church, and this may be a lead up to how we make things complicated instead of simple. The children, they just operate in the gift. Sometimes we call them cantankerous, ornery, hard-headed. We call them hyperactive. We call them all kinds of things, but they just are who they are. We need, and they need some correction. It's not because of the gift. It's because they need to learn to use the gift. Hyperactivity, there's nothing wrong with that. Anybody can control hyperactivity. You just need to teach your children to control the thing that's within them. Come on. It's not Ritalin. It's not tying them to a bedpost. It's teaching them to control. There's a society out here, and children and adults need to learn to operate in that society properly. That's exactly what God has given gifts, and He says, I want to teach you to operate in those gifts politely, as I operate in you politely.
Amen.
By the way, you can't turn gifts on and off. But you know what you can do? Can I just tell you something? Gifts are not the only thing we operate in. Sometimes, I don't know if you probably don't really believe this about me, but I have to go use the restroom. And I don't consider that to be a gift. And so I'm operating in something that's not a gift. I don't consider cleaning up a mess that I made a gift. But it's an obligation. It's something that we do. Connie went and washed the truck yesterday. Oh, she's got a gift. Oh, the truck was dirty. Needed to be done. You know why I'm saying this? Because we don't move on everything by the Spirit. I can do everything in Jesus' name, but I don't have to wait for a move of the Spirit. I can minister if I hate you. I don't mean that literally, but if I can't stand to be around you, a gift of ministry can minister in that I can't stand to be. Does that make sense? If I see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, I can stop and help. That is not the gifts of helps. That's treating people the way you want to be treated. That's a commandment of God. Don't wait until you feel the move of the Spirit to do everything. Maybe if you just work a little harder, you'll come near knowing when the Spirit wants you to move. Come on. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a whole lot easier to work out of a working position than a sleeping position. You want to make it where I don't want to do anything? Let me take a little nap. Then I don't want to do anything for the rest of the day. Day's over. The gifts of the Spirit can be emphasized and highlighted by salvation and by move of the Spirit. But they can't be created. Creation is already complete. Listen to me. Creation is complete. Can we get in our spirit that the creation is completed? If we can, we'll learn to work with what we got. And we won't be jealous, and we won't be uncomfortable. Well, what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? You're filled. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Can I tell you one other basic thing here? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is not operating separately from God. He has no thought processes separate from God. He is the extension. It's like if I could send my hand out and do a job, if you couldn't see me and you could see my hand doing a job, you wouldn't say, "Oh, that mighty hand." No more than you say, "Oh, that mighty Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a spirit of the living God. If the Spirit of God created all gifts, then the Holy Spirit is just going to go back and touch and work with the gifts that have already been created. I don't know. There seems to be a lot of confusion. There has been in me. And I think God's dealing very strongly with that confusion. I'm glad we're on the topic at the Bible study. I like it. We're not going to turn it into goosebumps. Gifts of the Spirit are not goosebumps. That usually deals with, I'm cold, I need to go to the bathroom, I'm affected by some emotion. Come on. Emotion is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Tears are not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Laughter is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what laughter is? Laughter is a gift, but it's given to all mankind as a medicine. Did you know that's what the Bible says, right? There are things that are given to earth, if you want to call them a gift. There are gifts that are given to the entire earth. But they don't belong to specific people. And then let's talk about the gift of laughter. You ever heard about that being in church, the gift of laughter? Ho, 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 we're rolling the aisle. I got the gift of laughter. No, you got your funny bone touched. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt laughing you just to encourage you, to heal you. That's fine. But that's not a special gifting. That's a special touch by God. Something that you needed. Just like me asking those questions about that, the video that I was watching the morning. Oh, you have a gift of discernment. I may have a gift of question. But I don't. Where in the Bible does it say I only answer those that have the gift of discernment? Come on, these are all good questions. That's a psychological statement. They're all, you have a very good question there. Yeah, well, I want a good answer. Amen. Amen. Don't flatter me. Give me a good answer. See, does singing affect you? My wife said, "You're addicted to music." I said, "Yep. Yeah, I am. It catches my attention like nothing else. I have a gift of music, even though I'm not a good singer." I pictured this morning, my mother could never sing, but she was always super talented. I pictured her singing in that choir, "Holy, Holy, Holy," because of a gift now that has been perfected. It's all about the body and it's all about God. It's not about us. And if he can't use it here, he'll get around to it there. I'm going to do a little bit of the message. I'm not going to try to fill it. I'm not going to try to complete it, I should say. Turn with me, Proverbs 3. I'm going to give. Do you know that I have a gift of teaching? I haven't known that for a long time. I'm coming to the conclusion that I have a gift of teaching. Simply because of something that the Holy Spirit said through me in the Bible study. The gift of teaching has to be that people with ears hear. That has to be the outflow of it. Not just hear, they understand. Now, I can say things that there's never any understanding tied to it. I have the understanding. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't. But sometimes God deals with me on how to say things over and over and in different ways so that finally understanding comes. The enemy spends all of his days trying to tell me that I'm not very good at getting you to understand. He's a liar. I don't have to believe a thing he says. Amen?
Amen.
And where I'm weak, I'll get better. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. I thought it was my vitamins and my trips to the doctor. Bind them around your... No, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man.
Right.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Right.
It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Now I'm going to begin something here. Let's go back to verse 1. I want to break down these verses, which is what I always do, but I'm going to put it in a little different format this time. We're going to keep it real simple. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. A, my son. You know how to break a scripture down? You've got to break it down. Now this is God writing and saying something to you this morning. And He's saying, my son. Boop, stop. Stop. I told you that one of the most exciting times in my life was when God came to me and said, I want you to read the Bible. I already been reading the Bible. He said, not the way I want you to read it. I want you to read something. I'll tell you what to, I'll tell you when to read, and I'll tell you when to stop. Because I said meditate on these things, and if you don't meditate, you just read. So we're going to meditate. My son, can you help me understand right now what, when God says to you, my son, what does that mean? He's the Father. What else? I belong to Him. Now, come on, let's kick in some of these parental feelings we have. Let's put some feelings in this. What else does it mean? All right. Are you providing for your son? Good things, right? All right. So my son includes provision of good things. Do you talk to them? Okay, that means there's going to be conversation because we're father and son. Do what? Relationship. Outside of a normal relationship. A lot deeper relationship because it's a father-son relationship. Feed, care for, pray for. Can you imagine my dad, how much he prayed for me? I required a lot. I got a, this is my father saying, I'm praying for you.
Amen. I need it.
Teach you. Show you new things. Show you things that He's gone through so that you'll understand better. An inheritance. That's right. Now and for the future. Provision for now. Okay? The difference is He'll never go away. His promise was, I won't die. I won't leave you, forsake you. What else? If you came from a family that had an estate, early on you recognize that you are owner of the estate. You're a part owner of the estate. Now, that's only an entire universe. What else? Wisdom. How can He do that? Because that's who He is. He's good at giving wisdom because that's what He is. He's given, good at giving love because that's what He is. Okay, instruction on how to go from pooping your diaper to teaching. How? I don't know. By accepting what? Okay. Okay? And we're going to read it. Yeah, that's right. It's in this scripture. How to become a son is easy. How to become an heir is harder. You're, don't mean to be rude to anybody in here, but my guess is if our sons become of age, they might have chosen another father if they had a choice. I can look around. I know times in every one of your lives you'd like to have chosen a different father. So, first, how is that He chooses us? Come on, I'm answering the question. He chooses us. Then He gives us what we call unconditional love, which is not true. It's only unconditional when you're holding this little baby and no matter how much they spit up on you, it doesn't make any difference. But that baby doesn't stay there. You teach him how not to spit up, and if he's got to spit up, grab a garbage can. Don't do it on me anymore. That's a requirement. And so does God. And there comes a time when we will choose Him as a father. There's a time in our lives when we don't choose our fathers. Then there's a time in our life when we have to forsake our earthly father and choose another father.
Right.
That's a requirement. It's required in salvation. Now, nobody wants to hear that if you're a father. But that's what the Bible says. My son. Here's a way to stay, son. Do not forget my law. Okay. All you ooshy-gooshy Christians being here or there on tape, how do you remain a son? Do not forget my law. So in our house, and our houses physically, for our sons, there has to be law. And if there's no law, there's no father and son relationship. Law is going to be applied or it's not law. Law, yes. Both of them are correct. They are. But we need to remember that it's not like teaching that we receive here on earth. It's God, whatever God says, it's law. Whatever He teaches, it's truth. You know? God asked me a trick question one time through some people. Can God do wrong? Can He lie? God gave me some wisdom there. I'll answer you. Yes, He can do wrong, and yes, He'd lie, but as soon as He did, it would become right and truth, so no, He can't.
Right.
You want to ask me a trick question, God will give you an answer that will conform. Well, you're going to say, that's not an answer. Oh, yeah, that is the answer. I trust God so much that I believe what I just said. So therefore, He can never lie, and He can never do wrong, because instantly we become right. Definitely might be wrong in our eyes. We run into that all the time with other people. My son, do not forget my law, my teachings. By the way, my law includes His love, His care, His concern. That's part of His law, right? Come on, we're dealing with basics now. We've got to get back to these if we're going to do anything for God. God's law is the only thing that matters. Here's the rough one. Our law doesn't matter. You know how much we're full of law? Come on, we write law continuously for ourselves, for others, but it doesn't matter. God's law is the only thing that matters. God's law is sure. God's law is life. And God's law is the only way that we remain a son. Come on. Let's carry this out in a physical application. Is it right for a father to say to a son, if you're not going to obey my law, get out of my house? It's not only right, it's required. Because that's what your God, your father does. We always love the story of the prodigal son, but we never look at it like the fact that God did not follow the prodigal son. The son said, come in and you'll do it my way. And the father said, no, I won't. And he left. It's a simple story. The father loved and cared at a distance until the son returned, we always say back to the house. No, back to his law. That's what he returned to. The father was standing outside the house full of joy when he did return. But when the boy ran at the end of himself, is what? And by the way, it was the father's law and teaching that caused him to return back to the house. Now, did you hear that? I'm going to say it to you again. It was the teaching of the father that caused the prodigal son to return back to the house. And if there hadn't been law and if there hadn't been teaching, he would have had nothing to return to.
Right.
He'd have still been in the pig pen with the harlots. Listen, it's such a basic truth. We need to understand this truth. Law based on the Word of God is not rough on kids. It's their salvation that you're talking about. You teaching your children correctly is their only salvation. They have to have a standard of righteousness. What does righteousness do? Righteousness in God changed me. I owe that much to my children. Got a card from Desiree yesterday, and it said, as children, we very rarely understood why you did what you did. As adults, we understand. You hear me? If there had not been a standard, they'd have never known that they were on the right path. There has to be a standard set. In this case, let's remember that God the Father is the Father here. He comes with a set of rules. He's not to me whoever I need Him to be. Throw those songs out that's in your library Don't quote him again. God will not be to you who you need him to be. You will be to him what he needs you to be.
Amen.
I don't know why we spend our lives trying to pull God down for our usage and level. I want higher for me than that.
Amen.
I am not satisfied with me. I want to be at a higher level every day, and the only way I can do that is have a hero that's bigger than me.
Amen.
Always be bigger than your son, fathers. Always be bigger than your son. They need that. They need that. And the only way you can be that is to be try to be more righteous every day and be as firm as needs to be. See, let your heart keep my commandments. I want to be my son? Do it my way. Come on. It's what God says. You want to be my son? Do it my way. I'm looking for an heir where I can turn this stuff over to. I'm not looking for somebody to carry my name. I can adopt anybody to do that. You gave up a wicked heart for God's heart. I'm going to say it another way. In my house, with my children, when they were coming up, they were not allowed to have their own heart. They had to have my heart. Y'all can picture that, can't you? My children can be, they can think independently all they want to. But what drives them will be my heart. They don't understand that it's driving them today. I'm just now coming to that point of revelation that the things that I established back there based on the Word of God are alive and real in me and them passed down the line. You gave up a wicked heart for God's heart. Let that heart rule, not the wicked one. That's what's being said here. You basically have two hearts. You have a heart of flesh and a heart of spirit. One given by God the Father, one given by your flesh father. Your flesh father was a screw-up. You're a screw-up as a flesh father. Now you need to, as soon as we can say that, we can look for a higher and better heart. And that's what God's saying here. Don't stoop to that flesh heart. Depend on my heart, God's saying. And then not only you can be the son, your son can be my son. God's commands to you are good. A simple thing. My fleshly father gave me a lot of goofy commands. My spiritual father has never given me one. Not yet, not one goofy command. They've always been for my good. Come on, they've always been for my good. You know how I know that? Because my fleshly father had limited perception. My spiritual father has unlimited visibility. He can see the future so he can guide my paths into a better future. Let that heart, that pure heart, do pure things. You know what that means? My heart? Are you talking about my heart? No. I'm talking about your Father's heart. Wants to do pure and good things in you and to you and through you. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. The world is seeking these things right now. And you are the only ones that have answers. Children of God, true children of God, are the only ones that have these answers. They're seeking length of days, long life, and peace. And you have the answer. Be a son. Don't forget the laws that make you a son. Don't forget to pass them on. A, length of days and long life. Good days come from obeying God's commands. They don't come from making a sale. They don't even come from witnessing. They come from obeying a command of God, which may be witness. Good days come from obeying God's commands. Long life with good days come from making yourself do in God's way. Now come on. I said it correctly. You make yourself do it God's way. And you will have not only long days, but long life full of good days.
Amen.
Come on. B. Peace will be added to you. You know, if you could can peace, you could own the world. Well, God has. And He does. Now, we got some of it. Let's use it. Let's receive it. Let's get more of it. And then we can pass it on. Peace. That means you don't lay awake at night worrying about anything. You don't stay awake in the daytime fretting and worrying. You just kind of walk around with a nice little contentment around you. And people are going to say, why? Now, they're not going to come up and say, why are you so peaceful? Don't be deceived. That just doesn't happen. But they're going to be seeking what it is that you have. And since their ego won't let them say, I want what you have, they're going to be kind of circling like buzzards. They're going to be watching. They're going to be looking for the key. Let's understand the basic. True peace can only be found in God. Please don't tell people such wasteful things like, if you'll just exercise 10 minutes before you go to bed, you'll sleep better. Come on, let's go for the real root. Exercising is going to be a good thing. Get to that at a later date. But go for the root of what's keeping them upset and worried. You just need to say, God is the only source of peace. Peace will be added to your days only through living by God's commandments. This will make a good, pretty good life manual. I don't know if you know this or not. But some basic teaching for either freshly born again people or people that have gotten lost in the process. Now listen, it didn't say you're going to get all the peace in the world the first time you cry out to God. It says peace will be added to your days through living by God's commandments. Well, I just can't get any peace. Well, that means you're not living by God's commandments. Are we bold enough to say that? Peace will be added to others through your obedience. That's what this is all about. That's what we're studying in the spiritual giftings, is that it's for the body, it's not for yourself. Peace will be added to others through obedience, your obedience. Let's go a little further. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Anybody ever see mercy and truth run away from a person? So I don't think this is worded exactly right. Mercy and truth are not entities that have their own mind and run away from you. Let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. All right, A. Never let truth and faith stop being the reason for your existence. What is... You notice I didn't use the word mercy because I looked up the word mercy and it meant faith. I don't know how we try to water down God by using soft, gentle words like mercy. Why don't we just say what it says? Let faith and truth never stop being your reason for existence. Man, I wish I could get this across to you. Faith and truth are the reason for your existence. Because it's the only hope for the next generation. Not your inheritance you give for them. Not a savings account that you saved up so that you can buy them a car. Why don't you quit wasting your time? It's your faith and your truth that will make them citizens of the kingdom in the future. By the way, truth is always backed up by action. Real truth is always backed, requires a reaction or an action. You know what the difference between fact and truth is, don't you? And fact can be elusive. They can be, I could say about the day, this is a gorgeous day, and in 5 minutes it could be a raining and thundering. It could change. I can be in a cloudy spot and say as a fact, I don't know if I'll ever see the sun. And 5 minutes later, there's the sun. The truth is there's a sun. It always will be. It's not going to go away. Faith and truth are the reasons for our existence. Other forces will press you to leave truth and faith. Y'all know that? Then let's don't get after ourselves or other people when other forces press. I don't know why we want to condemn ourselves and then we want to condemn others if we're kind of pressured by other forces. It's a fact of life. It's real. Your son disobeys you. There's a force there to change your truth. Don't do that. Don't do that. You stick with the truth. Let the truth force him, not you. Force yourself to adhere to truth and faith. Force yourself to adhere to truth and faith. And that's a work of faith. It's called the work of faith. It's that I know this is true and I know this is what I need to do, so I'm going to do it. It's not a gift of the Spirit. It's not a gift of the Spirit. To do right is not a gift of the Spirit. It's a work. Right. Let truth guide you and others through you. Not your emotions, not what you want, and not what they want. Let truth guide them through you. In other words, it has to be guiding you, right? All right. Bind them around your neck. Bind them around your neck. I'm surprised, Harry, we don't have a denomination where you have to wear something around your neck to fulfill this scripture. Sadducee, Pharisees. That's what scripture on your wrist, scripture on your forehead. It turns into law. So let's figure out what this really means. Let truth and faith be your vehicle of travel through this life. I got that picture when I was typing that this morning, that I could get in this space capsule called faith and truth and fly through life. It was my vehicle of life, faith and truth. Come on, think about the sword and the shield. Think about the power. Think about the things that happen. If I just can live in faith and truth, I can say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea. And if I don't doubt, which is not truth, see, if I have a doubt, then I'm not sure it's truth.
Right.
Then I can have what I say. Let truth and faith be your vehicle of travel through this life. They will be your bit and rein. Y'all like that one? That's better. Your bit and rein to guide you to abundant life. Truth and faith can be your bit and rein to guide you to abundant life. We thought it was hard work. We thought it was making right decisions. Yes, spiritually speaking, that's the truth. It has nothing to do with anything else. By the way, if you're strong in the spirit, you'll be working hard in the flesh. You'll never see a man that doesn't work be strong in the spirit. Not going to happen. God won't honor. They will be your bit and rein to guide you to abundant life. Let others see the true way. If spiritual giftings are about other people, then God's about other people than you. Are we talking about generations here? Are we talking about just what I can get out of this? That's a message in itself. I'd like to talk to every church in the world about, is this about you or is it about somebody else? Did God save you just so to get you to heaven? Oh, please. The minute you were born, He could have killed you and got you to heaven. That's an easy way for Him. He's going to put up with you for 80 years. He's going to work with us. He's going to finish the work that He started. That's a free will and a free spirit, caring about other people more than self. God's, in this verse, in these verses, God is trying to talk to us about how for us to have an abundant life so that we can cause other people to have abundant life. Why did Jesus pray for the sick? Well, they were sick. He didn't have to pray to heal. If the shadow would heal, if the hem of the garment would heal, He didn't have to pray. He was setting examples. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Oh, He was dirty. Oh, you're full of it. He was setting an example. Jesus lived His life as an example to us and for us. Why are you living your life? Well, Chuck, he's living his life so that he can frame houses. Oh, he's doing a great ministry. He's paying others to help him. Come on, guys. Let's get back in the spirit realm. Chuck is here to teach spiritual things. The outflow of that, well, physical things will be taught. Let's get it back in perspective. Oh, here's my children. I have an obligation to my children. Well, yeah, you do. What's your obligation? Well, I've got to provide for them. What do you have to provide to them? You have nothing more than your example. You have nothing more than your example. If you're satisfied with who you are, well, welcome to some more like you. If you're trying to be better, and I'm not saying that we don't try to be better. My whole goal in front of my children was to be better. I sought God continuously, and they knew that. I wanted to be better. I wanted some truth. I wanted more faith. I wanted faith in the truth, not truth in the faith. Everybody will give you the truth and say this, if you'll just do this, your faith will work. Come on, I need to know God. I need to know who He is, and I know what He's saying. And the only way you're going to know that is to seek Him. And guess what? That's the example I set before my children. Desiree, in her letter, said, you're always there, like I'm the only problem. Well, at that moment, you are. You call me up and say, I got a problem. You are the only problem I got. Think about that, people. If you call on God and you're a son or a daughter, He treats you the same way. I'm talking about basics here. I'm talking about basics here on how to become healthy, wealthy, and wise, and I'm not just talking about physical things. If we could actually get in our hearts and minds that when I have a problem, I'm the only child that God has, for that moment, He's so interested in giving us an answer that we're the only... Now, come on, we know this not to be true because He's something we aren't. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Can you get that? God, I got a problem. God goes, what? What is it? Tell me, quick. I want to know. I want to help. In our society, what we expect is when we lay out a problem, somebody else will take care of it for us. In God's society, He tells us how to take care of it. My son always thought I was so mean. He had a Jeep, and it'd break once in a while. And I'd go out, and I'd hand him a tool, and I'd say, go get the part. He'd go get the part, come back. He expected me to fix it. I never would fix it for him. So let's get under this thing, and I'll tell you what to do. Well, why don't, it's going to take longer that way. I said, yes, it will. Yes, it will. But you're going to learn how this works so that you can take care of it next time without asking me. Come on. That's the heart of God. He's a teacher. He wants many replicants of Himself. He doesn't want to do it all. He just wants those replicants to get Him glory. Basics? Are we talking about basics here, people? Can we remember them? It will make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. We can't do that. But the truth of God can do that. Us working and acting on the truth of God will make us that way. Well, just in our eyes? No, no, no. That's not even the important thing. When people look at you, they want to think, that's a wise man. Because they're supposed to be seeing God. Well, He's got all He needs. He's not looking for things. Maybe I need to find out what He's got. Your answer? God. Don't tell them about your job and your retirement and all that. Don't tell them about that. They don't want to know about that. Tell them where the answer is. I'm going to stop there. Do what? The answer's in God? I thought when I said I was going to stop, you said, thank God. But that's okay. So I didn't get what I was expecting. I believe, that we're in a season right now where we need to be seeking for basic truths. I would encourage you not to seek God for any specific revelation. Don't ask Him for specifics. Ask Him for basics. And watch the specifics answer themselves. I just keep going back to the fact that God said, unless you become as a little child. You know what happens if we don't go back to our basics every once in a while? We end up confused in everything. And we'll argue and debate over minutiae. I'm amazed in this political campaign that Kerry keeps bringing up his Vietnam background, or somebody does for him, and basic truths. Bush says, I honor his service to our country in ways that was greater than mine. And he drops it. And it doesn't heal. The truth does not heal. I stand amazed at that. Somebody trying to be the peacemaker and let's go on for different things, it won't do anything. So he has to go play the games as they lay it. Or he thinks he does. Just remember, you and I, we don't need to be drugged into that silliness. You know, before this is through, we're going to understand this. You are the only ones that understand the truth. Nobody else has the truth. Come on. I want to build you up in this. Us obeying God's commands, knowing that I'm a son of God and I'm not obeying commands. It's not David's command where I get sent out so that somebody else can get my life. It's not human commands. This is God's commands that are full of life and truth and health.
That's right.
And strength in my bones and wealth. And if I can listen and I can understand these basic commands, then I'm going to give some truth that's far beyond anything that I can think or ask. I can even imagine. Come on. Just the search for God's Word will make you smart. It'll make you smart. It'll set you free, the Bible says. Set you free. There's plenty of forces out there that want to put you in bondage. We need to get back to the basics of walking in freedom. I'm not going to be bound by debt. I'm not going to be bound by lack. It is not a plan of God. I'm going to curse that at every turn. I'm not going to accept it from somebody else. And here's how. This is how easy it comes along. I was watching a debate between O'Reilly and Bill Maher, whatever his name is. An idiot. And a fact of was brought up about truth. And Bill Clinton. I don't know how it got in there. It doesn't make any difference. And Bill Maher said, well, he never lied about anything that was important. Now, listen to me. You know how most of our flesh wants to hear that? Come on. You know how that would kind of set us free there for a little bit? If truth is the only thing that's important, then a lie comes against truth, no matter what. There's a war between truth and non-truth, Christ and Antichrist, word and not word, and it's not a little war, it's a major war, even if it has to do with importance as we understand it.
Right.
There was another bumper sticker we saw that said, Clinton's not lies, never kills us.
Yeah, nobody died when Clinton lied.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just a deceit.
That is a lie, by the way. If truth gives life, then lie gives death. It doesn't make any difference who does it or what timing it there is. By the way, understand, you're the only one that sees and understands truth. Feel sorry for the world. Give them truth, but don't be drug into it.
A lot of people die around Britain.
Oh, my. He killed some of them. There was death all around him. There has to be because that's what the Bible says. Lies are death. He's going to be surrounded by death and eventually his own. Hey, maybe he had a little experience with this last little heart thing. Anybody wouldn't like Bill Clinton saved? See, we need to always keep hope that somebody's going to, that God's going to be able to get to him. Always. Yeah, I mean, it's the only hope of the world. So that's where we need to live. Can I take it one step further? Don't let people convince you that they have a right to make their own choice. Do you know truth takes away your rights? You can only go with truth. Your vote is a God-given thing. You can use it wrongly, but you're supposed to base it on truth. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. What if you went in the ballot box and had that scripture in your mind? Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. That everything you did is life and death. Well, but you know how many people are going to vote to go to hell? Why do I want to listen to those people? I need to listen to truth. Well, that's because there's a lot of Christians that don't even understand who God is. I wonder if they know that God wouldn't vote for a liar. Can we just reproduce Judgment Day for a second? I can tell you Scripture. I find no truth in you. My goodness. It doesn't mean that there's not a little bit of truth in everybody. That's not what it means. He means, I find lies in you. Judgment Day will be based on truth or lie. That's what it will be based on. If we're going to get back to theology, basic theology, we're going to have to be counted as one that tells the truth. Even when it hurts. I ran into somebody recently. They did it a little sarcastically, but they remembered the time when I said to my son, then get out of my house. You'll do it my way or you'll get out. And I meant every word of it. He knows I meant it and he respects me for that. His house is changing in the process day by day because of a fact where his dad stood by truth over him. Listen to me. Truth is more important than your wife, than your children, than anything else on the face of the earth. There's only one reason for living, and that's truth. People a lot of times don't want to hear it, but it's what will set them free. How much do you care about people? You want their accolades or their pats on the back and say, good daddy, good daddy. Or you want them to say, I love you because you always tell the truth. I respect you. Even if they can't love you, I respect you, which is love, by the way. I don't want the other kind. Amen? All right, y'all stand with me. These are basics. Don't get bored with them. Don't get bored with them. You just let little statements like what I just said work on you, because it is God. You don't have to be rooted in the truth, but you have to be rooted in the truth. And if you don't know God's word and you're not obeying God's word, you can't deliver the truth. Double-minded man is unstable. So you have to be stable to deliver truth. You know that? You have to be stable. Do you know God fights for those who tell the truth? We'll see that further in the scripture too. A lie comes out. George Bush refused to obey his commanding officer when he was supposed to get a physical. So he didn't go. CBS puts it on as truth. There's only one problem. It says the 111th. Well, typewriters wouldn't do 111th. So now they analyze it further, and they find out that it's a total lie. CBS still says, we stand by our report. So what do you say to CBS?
You're a liar.
You're a liar. Don't choose to use you anymore. I told you when my son went to Iraq, my satellite dish was reactivated because I could get Fox News. I didn't want to hear any other news. Are they all truthful? They're the closest that I can find. Doesn't mean they're all full of truth. It means I don't anymore want to hear ABC, CBS, or NBC. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear CNBC. I don't want to hear C-SPAN. I want to hear somebody that's going to live on the edge and tell the truth. Damn blather, yeah. I'll tell you what, you get your mind open, and he's not kidding you. It's babble. You should not be able to understand why somebody could say what they say. Well, Carrie does. And we need to pray that they do. That God says what's done in secret be revealed. God, let's reveal it now. Pull the pants down of every liar that's out there. Let's have a nudist colony for a while. Until we start wanting to see the truth and hear the truth and feel the truth. Amen? By the way, you know what we're fighting, don't you? We're fighting an Islamic Muslim belief that believes that they have the only true God and they are to rule the earth. We're not fighting John Kerry. We're not fighting Bill Clinton. They were just subject to the lies. Those people that are out there dying for their religion make us look like fools, because we won't stand up for what's right. We've been led to believe that we have to be politically correct or polite to all religions. No, I don't. I don't have to be polite to any non-truth. The Word of God, the truth of God, is more powerful than any sword. It's more powerful than any weapon that can be put out there. So, can I just put it in our terminology? We have the biggest weapon there is. It'll blow liars away, because God backs truth tellers. Later in the scripture, it says, you'll be exalted, you'll be revered if you tell the truth. And it doesn't always mean when it's nice to say it. I still get ridiculed today, and I'm going to say it again. When I looked at Gene Geiser that day, and I said, you know what? If I find you laying in the gutter starving to death, I'm going to watch you die. Because my Bible says a man that don't work don't eat. Now that's a Colt 45 peacemaker. The Word of God is swift and it's powerful. Amen? Let's live by it. Only if we're willing. I'm willing to take the same judgment, by the way. If I don't work, I don't eat. I'm not willing to pass judgment that I won't obey. All right, we can talk truth forever. Maybe that's what we should do. But let's live in it. It'll be better if we just live in it. I hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is truth. I'm not forever seeking truth, by the way. I have found truth. I'm not seeking. I'm not off in four corners of the earth, and I'm not buying every book and reading every subject, because I've already found the truth. And everything from this point forward must be filtered through the truth. The truth will never be filtered through any other truth. I made that decision some time ago, and I'm going to stick with it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. I get excited in feeling and knowing you, feeling the excitement that you feel when we harp on little things like the truth. Your promise, it says, it'll set us free. I love you, Lord. You're magnificent. You're worthy. You're holy. You're righteous. Your truth. Your power and authority. I look for no other source of life or abundance but you. We make a commitment to walk in the steps that you order, to speak the words that you speak, to stick by the truth even when it's not popular. We vow to do our part to bring our country back to a righteous nation, not one that will say anything and do anything for public acceptance. We love you, Lord. Let your truth be revealed in the upcoming political debates and contests, and let lies be revealed. Miraculously and supernaturally, let lies be revealed. Let liars be exposed. We ask you, Father, for our own national health and spiritual health, physical health. You said you hold kings in your hands. Reduce those that are against you to rubble, and raise up those that will vote for you and proclaim you as the only true God. Do it in a miraculous, quick work so that all your children can give you praise and honor and glory. And we start now in advance by thanking you for it, Lord. Protect the soldiers. Protect their minds as well as their bodies. Don't let them be deceived in thinking that they have a choice in righteousness. That they're out there delivering people, shielding people from tyrants and lies, but they're doing it as one nation under God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Let us get our mind off of 9/11 and put it onto the Father, the one that redeems and delivers and saves and heals and comforts. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Root us and ground us once again, fresh and new in your basic truths, so that we can be towers and giants in strong theology. We love you, Lord. We ask you to do these things for your honor, for your glory, and for your kingdom. We thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says amen.